To support the next generation of women pizza makers, Cordo and Stanislaus have joined hands with Pizza University and Women's Pizza Month to award scholarships to 5 aspiring women pizza makers. They also launched a limited edition For the Love of Pizza kit that puts the very best ingredients, loved by professional pizza makers, into the hands of at-home chefs. Apply for the scholarship and get your kit at cordo-olive.com/pizza-kit. Happy Women's Pizza Month, y'all. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I have an amazing guest with me today. Jeanette from Laredo, Texas, 550 Pizzeria. She is a woman who is super hardworking, knows what she wants in life, promotes her community, and is an inspiration to all women, both inside the pizza world and out. Welcome, Jeanette. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome. Let's kick things off right away and let's talk about your pizza journey because it's an interesting one. You started off as a cashier at a place called Pizza Factory. And please correct me if I'm wrong because I didn't know too much about Pizza Factory since it's since closed down, right? But is that the Pizza Factory that is like a pretty big chain?
No, it was called Laredo Pizza Factory.
So it was a unique, one of a kind place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your time there.
So I was working at a bar actually, and I remember seeing this guy walking in and out and talking to the owner of the bar, and they would watch me, and I was like, weird, you know, like why are they looking at me? But this whole time he was like, dude, I was scoping you out because you're super good at customer service, you know? And I'm just like, oh, okay. And we would laugh about that because I was like, I would always be like, why are they like just staring at me?
Was the bar and the pizza factory close to each other?
Yeah, they're literally right next door to each other.
Ah, got it.
Yeah. So, and I didn't even know that they're opening a pizzeria next door until he tells me like, hey, I'd like to offer you a job as a cashier. And I remember telling him like, well, one condition only, I also work at a news station and by 3 p.m. I need to pick up my daughter. And my daughter was little at the time. So he was like, yeah, of course. So I just started working there and pizza is my favorite food. So I don't know, like I've always wanted a restaurant as well. So I guess it being so small, I fell in love with a pizzeria. I wanted to know the ins and outs of owning a restaurant because, again, that's always been one of my dreams, but it's kind of like with what money, you know, my family doesn't come with like from money and stuff like that. And I just finished high school. Like I didn't go to college. I didn't go to culinary school or nothing like that. So I was learning the ins and outs of a pizzeria, of a business, of a restaurant. And I noticed that I had a lot of passion for it. So my former boss, which is Jeff Treviño, which is my mentor, he would let me do a lot of like I would tell him like, can I go give coupons to the schools? When I go talk to the schools, like, can I give coupons to the neighbors? And he would tell me like, yes. So more and more people thought I was the owner. And he would tell them like when people would come like, may I speak to the owner? He'd be like, she's right there. And I would like freeze. And I'm like, what? Like, no, like, you know. And he would tell me like, girl, they look for you. Like, take it. And I'm like, but I don't know. Like, this is your business. I'm so sure. And he's like, one day you're going to have your own pizzeria. And I would be like, my head, I'd be like, you're right. You know, and more, like, I just started running the place and he would help me out. And I was like, but I want to learn to make pizza. Like, I just don't want to do the back stuff, you know. So every day I would watch, now it was my turn to watch them, you know, and I would be watching him and he would be making pizza. And one day I was like, can I make a pizza for you? And he's like, yeah, let me teach you. And I'm like, no, let me show you that I know how to make it. And he's like, okay, you know, and I made him a pizza and he's like, what are you even doing cashiering anymore? He's like, you should be on the line with us. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So every time that he would work with me, he would tell me like, you're gonna make pizza and I'll be cashier. And I'll be like, no, like, I'm slow. And he's like, we all start somewhere, Jen. And I'm like, okay. Time went on and I was still working at the news station as well. I had a morning job and I remember being at a parade one time, and he calls me during the parade, and he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna sell Laredo Pizza Factory to you." So I'm like, "But what? Like, what's going on?" And he's like, "I'm gonna move to San Antonio." Like, he's like, "This is a good opportunity." Yeah, it's all so crazy, right? Like, it sounds super movie sometimes. I'm like, it was super easy, but not super easy, you know?
Did you indicate at all that you were even interested the slightest bit to him? Because you sort of said you wanted a restaurant, right? But did you even tell your mentor that? Or did it just like, he was like, oh, I could tell.
Yeah, like he would always tell me, like, "You're super good at it." He's like, "I will give you one piece of advice. Don't ever stop what you're doing," because he's like, "I'm not like you that's in front, like could speak to people." He's like, "And you're super like great at customer service." He's like, "Don't ever stop that." And he would tell me, "Write your ideas down, what you want, on a notebook." And I would write my ideas down, and you know, it's kind of like manifesting, right? And the day he told me he was leaving, he sold half of Laredo Pizza Factory to me. He sold me all his recipes and everything, and he tells me, like, "I have nothing to do with it anymore. It's yours." And I was like, "But I'm scared." Like, I would tell him, like, the math part, you know, and he'd be like, "I'll help you. I'll help you as much as I can. I'm gonna call away." And I'm like, "Okay." So yeah, he helped me as much as he could, and I finally got the hang of it by myself. I had a business partner, and you know, little things. There's things that I didn't like about having a business partner, because it's kind of like, it's not yours. You know, you can't do things that you want your way. And he kind of spoke to me in a very ugly way that my daughter heard it. She was little. And I said, "How can I even allow that? You know, I don't want her to grow up and be like, oh, it's okay." You know? So I remember that day being like, "You know what? I'd rather close." And he was like, "What?" Like, and I said, "Yeah, I'd rather close." And it was something that I worked my ass off to get to that place. And for me to close, like, I felt super discouraged. Like, why did I do that? But I already knew, like, I'm gonna have my own pizzeria one day. I don't know how, but I'm gonna have it, you know? And from one day to the next, I remember my customers looking for me on Facebook. And I'm like, how do they even know my last name? They looked for me on Facebook, on Instagram, and they were like asking me what happened. And I was like, "Just give me a few days, let me figure out some stuff." I couldn't even believe it. But then I started making pizza from home, and it took off from there. Like,
Before we continue, I have to ask while we're on the topic. You sold your half. How heartbreaking. You worked your ass to get there. But one thing you had mentioned before, like we even like started talking about the pizzeria and your ownership, is like you were like working at a news station, and you said, "I had no money. I came from nothing." How does one person go from working at a news station and at a pizzeria go to owning 50% of one? Is it just through hard work and savings?
Yes, it's through hard work and savings. And I will say that my former boss, Jeff, he left it to me at a very, like, practically free price. It wasn't free, but a very good price that I was like, "What?" And my husband at the time, he was like, "Let's do it. Let's do it." Like, he's like, "I see you. It's like you run this place. Like, why wouldn't you want to try it?" You know? And I'm like, "Okay, let's do it." And it took off from there, in the sense, like, I was like, okay, I was scared. I was scared out of my mind.
So you take on this huge risk, even, you know, I don't know what the price is. We don't have to get at that. But even then, you're committing fully to this pizza experience, and then you own it, right? You work your ass off even more, I'm assuming, and the people notice. And when you leave, your people, the people who like loved and support you, followed you onto your next venture, which was making pizza at home.
Yes, making pizza at home. It was, I don't know if you ever heard of they're not uni ovens. They're another type of another oven that it's kind of the same thing. And I
Sure,
would make
portable oven.
10 inch, yeah, portable oven, and there were 10 inch pies. And I would go to markets, and I would sell out at markets. And I always tell this story to everybody, because I used to have Border Patrol, state trooper, cop cars in front of my house lined up, that my neighbor asked me one time, like, "What's going on? Are you selling drugs? Like, what's going on with you?" you
the
know,
border and patrol's I'm like, no. lining up for drugs. I yeah. like it.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, no, I sell pizza. And they're like, what? Like, and he even told me, no wonder we always smell something. We always smell something. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and until one day my customer asked me, do you make large pizzas? And I was like, I don't. So that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a pizza stone from Amazon, a 16 inch. And I had a grill, a propane grill. Okay. I stopped using the portable ovens, use a propane grill, and I would make one pizza at a time, large pizzas outside. Yeah. Rain or shine. Like,
let's go. So why do you think it was so successful? Because, you had a line, you had demand. From my understanding and researching you were selling out. And not only that, but no offense, it sounded like it was an inconvenient process because you were selling one pizza at a time on a propane grill, which as pizza makers, we know isn't the most efficient thing. So why did these law enforcement, border patrol line up for this so-called pizza crack? Like what was in the pizza?
I think they saw my passion again. And after I closed Laredo Pizza Factory, I started working at the news station again. I worked there for 14 years, so they would rehire me so much.
Yeah. Just on and off for 14 years.
Yeah. So I worked there from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. and I would start making pizza from 2 to 10 p.m. every single day. Yeah. And I think they saw my passion and I kind of tweaked the dough ingredient. So I don't know if maybe it was that. I really don't know. Like, but they would order like, can I have 12 pizzas? Can I have, you know, like six pizzas? And for me, that's a lot because I would make dough from a KitchenAid mixer. That only gives me four large doughs at a time.
Oh gosh.
You know,
that's a lot of work.
So imagine. Yeah. So it was just a continuous day, and then at night I would make dough for the next day, you know. And I think my city saw my passion. I think it was something that I would always pray about, and I remember making pizza at home every single day, and I would tell God, like, one day, God, one day, like, I'm gonna have my own restaurant, and it's gonna be right here on Shiloh, like on the street Shiloh. People would be like, but there's nothing there, there's just grass, like, what are you talking about? And I would always be like, it's gonna be there. Yeah.
And we will get to that build just a second, but just staying on this real quick, because I think there are a lot of people out there who are so dedicated and they'll show up every day. Are you familiar with Nicole Russell, Last Dragon Pizza?
Yes. I love her.
Nicole, in our interview, she said, I made pizza. I think she said either like 10 or 20 every single day, no matter if people showed up. Every single day, and people saw that dedication in her. Were there days where you didn't sell out? Were there days where you didn't sell pizza? And if so, what kept you going on those days?
There were days that I didn't sell pizza, but I got really sick. I got really sick, you know, and I ended up at the hospital and I had to get operated. So those days were, I had to write something for all my customers and saying, I'm sorry, I can't make pizza for the next 2 weeks. I got operated. I wasn't supposed to be working. A week later after my operation, I literally was making pizza super slow, super. And my customers, I'm like amazed because I think I look back and they would tip me extra and be like, cause it's okay. You're going to be okay. Like, it's okay. You know, to this day, I'm like, what? Like that amazes me. But that's why I pay it forward, because I'm here because of my community also.
That's beautiful. And so talk to me about this, like, jump from, you know, business owner to home pizza maker to business owner and setting your sights on that. And even talk about, like, explain a little bit more for the audience about, you know, seeing that little patch of grass and saying there's nothing there now, but there will be. Cause that to me was like magical.
Yes. Well, again, I was a single mother, working at a pizzeria as a cashier to, whoa, you're the owner, you know, but it's kind of the believing yourself. It's very hard sometimes because, again, you don't come for money. How are you going to do it? I'm so sure, like, you know, you should just go study. You should just go study, you know. It's just I've always believed in, like, do if you want something, like, do it. Like, do it. Like, and if you fail, okay, you get back up. Okay, what's next? You know? So I went from restaurant owner to closing the shop, being super devastated because I worked so hard, from making pizza from home every day to selling out constantly every day, to people coming to me and being like, who are you? How are you? You're the talk of the town. Like, you're sending pizza from home, you know, to getting in trouble with the health department, to going to all these markets, to people, all my friends, like people that I haven't seen in years being like, do we heard about you? You know, like, what? Like, how did you hear about me? You know, I just sell pizza from home. I tried to stay as quiet as I can because, again, health department, you know, and to owning my shop. When there was nothing here, I used to tell people, it's going to be right there. It's going to be right there. A lot of people were like, okay, let's go look somewhere else. And I would go look at other buildings, and it was never like, you know what, it's going to be here. And I liked one more place, but I knew it wasn't there. And I used to tell my ex-husband at the time, and I used to tell my family, God's going to put it right there. I know God's going to put it right there. And I used to pray about it. Every time we would drive by, I would tell God, please, God, please, God. Like, please, God, you have given me so much. And I know that 550 is going to be there. I know 550 is going to be there. Or I would say, or Laredo is going to be there, because it's Laredo. That's my slogan, you know. And little by little, people, like, they started cleaning out the land. And everybody was like, damn.
Ooh, it's happening. It's something's moving. Why that place though? Like, was it pretty? Was it off a busy road? Was it close to your house? What's up?
Yeah, it's close to my house. It's about 2 blocks from my house.
That is a key unlock for business owners, I think. I might, but also talk about, is it a blessing and a curse to be that close to your work?
Yeah, it's a blessing because, like, hey, we're missing this. Like, we'll run to me. Hey, we need help. Like, okay. I guess the curse is, like, I don't know. Like, I can't really find the curse in it, you know. I guess because I pray about it so hard, you know, that I wanted it right here. That's some. To me, it's easier because my daughter is right there if I need something. If I'm here at work, she's across the street, you know, even though she already works with me. But yeah.
Okay, so it's a blessing, no curse. I'm so happy to hear that for you.
Yes, thank God. Thank you.
Talk to me about 550 and the pizza you all are making. What is it? What are you all? Why do you all stand out with the community to this day? I'm assuming, like, there's the support for you and your team, but also the food has to be amazing. So talk to us about that.
So we do a New York style kind of pizza. We have different kind of pizzas. We have, like, a chicken choriqueso, we have a barbecue pizza, you know, we have a one with pastor.
Yes, pastor. Ooh.
Yeah. It's with a locally owned taqueria. We try to, like, you know, collab with them and stuff like that. Let them grow, even though they've been around for many years, but they wanted to collab with us. So, okay, cool. Let's make a pizza out of it, you know.
Is that a long-term collaboration or is that, like, seasonal?
No, it's long-term. Yeah, as long as it's selling, we're good.
So do you, like, when you say as long as it's selling, are you saying we need to sell X amount per, I don't know, month or day or whatever? Or is it just like, as long as people are still somewhat interested in it, we'll keep it going?
Yeah, as long as they're interested in it, just because the meat goes bad and stuff like that, you know. But so far, I mean, Laredo really, really likes it. So it's like a taco, but with bread.
Hey.
Yeah.
I like
and
that.
We have pastas, and the pastas are a big seller because we make our own sauces here. And like, a lot of the reviews are like, my God, your pizza is great, but have you had the pasta? Like, the Alfredo pasta is like a huge seller. We run out so much. We make about 5 gallons sometimes because it's like quite often that we sell out of that.
I never really asked this, but can you let us in on what's the secret to your pasta sauce?
It's probably the heavy cream.
The heavy cream? Heavy cream makes everything better.
Yeah, Tarula.
Okay. So you have these pizzas that are they Mexican influenced because you're a border town? And are they, would you say that they're your top sellers compared to like a traditional cheese or pepperoni? Because I always have this conversation with like pizza makers about like, what's your top seller? And some pizza makers are saying, well, in our town or in our city, pepperoni and cheese is always dominant, and they don't try the like specialties or like the owner creations until they try their pizza and cheese. But even then, their pepperoni and cheese, but even then, pep and cheese is still the most popular. Would you say that's the case for your spot?
Yes, pepperoni and cheese is the most popular. We have a ghost pizza and has three meats and three cheeses. That's like the top seller here. It's pepperoni, ham, sausage, fresh mozzarella, gorgonzola, and Romano cheese, and it sells like it's the top seller. And it's like when they're ordering so many, it's called the ghost. So when they order it and then they order the meat lovers, like we're like, oh, what are we making? Because of so many ghosts that we sell in throughout the day, we're making the ghost. And then meat lovers, we're like, what? Like it kind of throws us off sometimes, you know? But yeah, we do sell a lot of like we have a heat wave pizza, which is named after my meteorologist because he's not from Laredo, but he loves the heat because we get up to 120 degrees here. So it has Tabasco and red crushed pepper, but we have the chicken chori queso, which has a tomatillo base, you know, and it's cilantro. But yeah, they do sell a lot, but the ghost is the number one seller.
I love Tabasco on pizza. I feel like it's like the perfect acid and heat play on pizza. If you all are hesitant on Tabasco, don't. It's just dab it up as much as you can. It's one of my favorite condiments. But the ghost, that is the one that you competed with at Expo, right?
My first year that I competed, yes.
Yeah. What? Why do you think that one is so popular? Is it because they know it's your competition pie, word of mouth? Like, what makes a pizza successful outside of pepperoni and cheese? Because I'm curious to know this as well.
I feel like it's all the cheeses we use. And honestly, sometimes I wonder, like, because I have it very random. You know, it's not my favorite, but it's favorite of Laredo's. And
interesting.
And I think it's all the cheese, you know. I use great cheese, by the way.
What cheese do you use?
I use Baccio cheese.
For all of those on the ghost?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, so, for all my pizzas, yes.
I didn't know they had, you said gorgonzola?
Yes, gorgonzola. They don't have gorgonzola, but the main base cheese is Baccio cheese, yeah.
Nice. Are you using the pre-shred or the block?
The pre-shred.
Have you tested both the block and the shred before? Side by side?
Yes, we've tested it. Yeah, and many different cheeses. We've actually tested the provolone. Provolone's a game changer also. If you just sprinkle some on there, it's amazing.
So why did you end up with the shred versus the block? Like, tell me the reasoning behind that.
To be honest, I don't have room to be shredding it myself. And I think the stretch is a lot better with the shredded.
That's definitely what I've heard. I haven't done a lot of testing because I only use the shred at home, but I did get a couple of blocks, but just because I don't have that space either or the machinery to do it at scale, it's just like the shred's way more convenient. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course.
Talk to me about being an owner now of your own shop, because this was your dream and you're here. And from all that I've researched about you, all that I've heard so far, you're not only doing it, but you're killing it. And so just talk to me about why you think it's successful. Aside from the community support, the pizza, like, what are you doing day to day to make sure that your blessing continues, right? Because we all get blessings every single day, but we can let it go. So what is your game plan?
I think I pray very loud every day when I walk in. And if I don't, I don't pray out loud because I don't want, you know, if I don't pray out loud, it's because there's a lot of people already here. But I try to touch every wall when I'm here, and I try to bless everybody as soon as they walk in. I always tell God, like, may they be blessed coming in here and walking out wherever they go. You know, sometimes when I make pizza, I pray, and I tell people if I'm not paying attention to anybody, it's because I'm praying and I'm thanking God. Sometimes we have 2 hour waits, and I tell God, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all I could. I can't ask you for anything else. I suffer from anxiety. So when I'm having an anxiety attack, when I'm making pizza, that's when I pray the hardest, you know. I feel that when I wake up every day, I tell God, like, God, you know, my plan is to one day come in here and be able to speak to people that suffer from mental health and have a slice with them and be able to hear the most craziest things, but be okay and give advice to them. You know, because I've been there in some situations where you feel like, I can't anymore, but you can. It's gonna be okay. You know, that's always been my mission. That's that one day I'm gonna sit here with somebody and be able to have a slice of pizza with them. I feel like it's just a lot of prayer and a lot of like positivity. You have to. I mean, it's not like every day I'm like, yeah, everything's gonna be great, you know, because sometimes it's hard, you know. Sometimes it's so hard to be like, yeah, you know, because sometimes we have problems here, we have problems at home, and it's just inevitable. But it's the manifesting. It's gonna be, everything's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Like, I sound like a yoga instructor
or a motivational coach, but you know what? I relate to those people so much because life is hard. I do suffer from my own, like, getting my own way in my own brain. And I constantly have to remind myself, it's okay. And I love your advice. Just keep moving forward. And I love your mission. Is it getting easier over time to deal with those things now that you've seen that? Like, for me, sometimes I have the part of my anxiety is, like, not thinking I'm enough for what I do. Or having that imposter syndrome, right? But people say in the world of motivation or internet, like, your experience gives you the confidence to say, this is me. I am doing this thing. And so that's what's helped me, is that I have, like, my Instagram to, like, look back and say, look, you've made amazing pizzas, or you've had amazing conversations as a podcaster. So that gives me more confidence every day. But, like, what, aside from prayer, which seems to help a bunch, like, what is your physical proof, or how are you feeling today now that you've been in it for so long?
Like I said, it's kind of hard to believe in myself sometimes. Everybody's like, you know, but I actually went to a career day recently, and they had like a whole PowerPoint of me. Dude, I was like, you normally see that with, like, people that are big, you know, like, I'm like, damn, I've done all of that. Like, I can't, and I literally was, like, super teary-eyed, but I'm like, get it together, tonight, get it together, like, not right now, you know? So I was like, oh my gosh, like, I have to believe in myself. Like, my daughter's watching me, you know, Laredo's watching me, and of course, at the moment, you're like, yeah, you're all like, hell yeah, I believe in myself. And then again, it's like other days, you're like, meh. You know, but it's a constant motivation that I have to tell myself, dude, like, you love making pizza. Two, I'm like, I want to say it in Spanish. I'm like, Dios te doy todo. But, like, God has helped me so much. Why am I not going to keep moving forward? You know, my plan is to always help people as much as I can. And I've tried, you know. And I always told God to please, please make 550 so big that I could help people as big as I can, not for tax purposes, like people think, you know, like it's always like, oh, it's because you get tons of tax. Dude, those things I never tell my tax people, or that I help people, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Disclaimer. It's not for tax purposes. It's because you really want to do good shit in life. That's, that's beautiful.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you're giving back to your community because they supported you. I'd love to highlight some of the other community events that you've done. Career Day is one. What else are you doing out there? And because this is a podcast that, you know, highlights business, I would love to see if Is there a connection to when you do community events, and does it help your business like right away, indirectly, directly? So talk about the things that you're doing for your community first, and is there a way to tie it to the greater business?
I try to like donate at the Bethany House. It's a soup kitchen. We try to do it twice a year. I always try to, when I was little, I told my dad, when I'm bigger, daddy, I'm gonna buy those men beer and pizza. The people that build houses that are constructions. And my dad's like, well, you can't buy them beer, but you can buy them, you know, some Coke cans and 7-Ups or something. You know, and you can buy them pizza, but you need to study, he would always tell me. And I'll be like, wow, okay. So now I'm older and I'm like, okay, well, it's not that easy because there's a lot of people, you know. So if they're, I don't know, sometimes I'm praying and sometimes I'm here and sometimes I remember I was at the beach last summer and I was just like, when I get back, I'm going to give free pizza to the cops. Like, and everyone's like, what? Like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. Just God put it in my heart. Let's do it. But like, and everyone, like my business partner right now, he's like, what? Like, you can't. It's going to be a lot of money. And I'm like, I know, but don't even worry. Like, I have no worry about that. It's going to be okay. And it's just little things that I try to help my community because we all struggle. Even if you're a cop or you're a nurse or you're a teacher, like everyone thinks that everyone's rich. Dude, we don't know everybody's struggles. You know what I mean? A free pizza on a Thursday, that could help your family out. And you're like, oh my God, thank you. You know what I mean? A teacher, I know that teachers, man, I go to so many career days and I'm like, God bless you guys. Cause I can't, I could be with kids for an hour, 2 hours. And then I'm like, bye. My daughter's going to be 18. So I'm like,
oh shoot, I feel that. Yeah. It's another job and some people are better at it than others. Yeah. With dealing with kids.
Definitely they are.
Yeah. So it doesn't even matter if it has a direct effect on your business. You're not even tracking.
I give free for all the kindergartners or elementaries. I give them free pizza or I'll do free games. Like, we talk about my career and then I'll ask them questions. I give them free coupons. And my manager tries to keep track, but I just tell her like, they came, awesome. But I feel like people see how I help and they want to help me too. And it just goes from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to Sophia from Latinos and Pizza about this. And it's just like, you just never know where your efforts, where your good deeds pay back. So sometimes it's not even a matter of like, oh, I'm going to go into this. Like, oh, a quick example is I used to manage a nonprofit. And one of the things that I gave away as a donation for our charity auction was a free pizza party. And I was like, I'm going to give away 6 free pizzas. I didn't know how. I just said, I'm going to give away 6 free pizzas because at the time I was just getting started making pizza. It was probably like my first year in. And I gave away 6 free pizzas. And that person never claimed it for another like 6 months to a year. And she reached out to me and said, hey, my daughter is having a baby shower. Can you give me those 6 pizzas and can I buy 6 more from you? And I went over there, made the pizzas at the baby shower. And I was super happy because I got the experience. I let people try my pizza and it was just, and it felt right. And then guess what? After that, one person from that baby shower ended up booking me for their catering event.
Wow. And then
at that catering event, another person booked me. And at that catering event, I'm doing my 4th party for this person next week, or just stemming from that like good thing, right? And so like, I never said, I'm gonna donate these pizzas so that I can get 3 catering gigs out of it.
Exactly.
But oh my goodness, like it felt nice to see that. And like-
You had favor, that's amazing.
Yeah, it just, I mean, sorry to tie it to business, but like again, you just never know the good things that are gonna come out of doing good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And there's more to come for you.
For sure. As long as we like keep doing what we love, as long as we keep showing up. Like, I could have given those six pizzas and been like, ah, they're free. I'm just going to serve whatever I serve. But no, I like cared. I cared about how the pizzas looked, their experience. And, you know, as long as we put that passion and that love into our work, it's going to shine through.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Talk to me. You said you want to be a big inspiration to your community, but I also see the work you're doing for the women in this pizza community specifically. And I would love for you to talk about an experience that you've had. It sounds like multiple times, about when men will come to your staff and say, I want to talk to the manager or I want to talk to the owner. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes I'll be a cashier whenever they need me to be, or I'll be making pizza. And it's kind of those, like, well, you're the owner, why are you working? Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm going to work, you know, I love to work. And, or people will come in and look at me and be like, can I speak to the owner? And I'm like, but they're looking at a man, you know, they're like, can I speak to the owner? And I'm like, I'm the owner. And they're like, oh, hi, what's your name? Like, what's your name? Like, and it's multiple times that's happened to me, you know. It's kind of, or like, oh, this is Jeanette from 550. Jeanette's about the from 550. And I'm like, oh, she's the owner. And they're like, you know, the face is always like, what? Like, her? You know, they expect some tall man or something, you know. And I come in here and I'm in my cap, or I'm with my hair up and I'm making pizza and I have my apron on and I have to serve a table. I'm going to go serve a table. I have to clean the table. I have to do it. It's not like I want to do it. It's hard sometimes being a woman in that sense, because again, they're used to, what do you mean a woman's running a pizzeria? Like, she's running a pizzeria, a successful pizzeria in Laredo? Like, what? Because other pizzerias that are local here are owned by men, by older men, you know? So that's the hard part sometimes. But again, I always think to myself, my daughter's watching me. You know, I had a talk with her recently because last summer she was working and it was kind of like, meh, like, you know, it was half-assed. And I got a complaint from one of the guys here. And I told her, Jessica, at the end of the day, this is going to be yours. You need to, I'm like, it's my name and your name that are here, you know? And if they're telling you to do something, be like, thank you. You're right. I need to learn. You know, I had a big, long talk with her. I swear it was like that she was just so different. Yeah, there's some days, you know, everybody has those days that's like, oh, have to work today or whatever, you know, but she's such a different person and she kicks ass here. And now I could leave her alone on a Friday night, Saturday night, and that blows my mind. That blows my mind, because back then I would be like, I have to have her on a Monday and Tuesday early, you know, when it's kind of dead. And so being a woman in the restaurant business, it could be tough, but you have to just remember, like, hey, dude, we're human. We could all do the same thing. Anybody could learn pizza as long as you want to. Anybody, it takes a special person to be a mom and to run a business, but you could do it.
Yeah. That's a great message for your daughter too. It's just like, this is our name. This is what society sees us. We have to show up. And I think that's a great message, not only to women, but to everyone who's trying to prove something, is that no matter the adversity, no matter the current environment that you're in, like, you just have to pick yourself up. And it's so helpful to hear it from people who you identify with, a woman of color, someone who doesn't come from money. Like, it's so helpful to hear that message.
Thank you. And people have asked me, like, who are your parents? I'm like, oh. I'm like, my dad doesn't have money. My mom doesn't have money. Like, I'm just a regular Laredoan.
Yeah, you're a regular Laredoan, but you're self-made and you work hard and you're doing the thing that you love. So congrats.
Yes, thank you.
In a world of social media, in a world where attention is online, you have, I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Vee, but he talks crap about billboards all the time. I think he's like changing his tone, but he's like, why? Why do you do it?
You're talking about Gary Vee. I love him. I actually have his checkbook right there. Nobody owes you shit. right now, I'll show it to you. I actually had one person was like, you shouldn't be having it up there, but everybody takes pictures of it and they love it. But my billboards are because we don't always have to be like this, stuck to a phone. You know, I want you to drive by and be like, oh my God, like, did I just read that? You know, or it doesn't say anything bad. But like right now I have a picture, it's like a double mirror of myself, you know, and just change it up, you know, change it up. Don't make it boring, make it sassy, make it where you drive by and you can read it quickly, or you see it and you're like, whoa, you know, like, oh, let me go see the billboard again. Turn around. Like, let's go see it again. Like, you know? So yeah, they're just me and my marketing girl, which is my friend Ariana, and big shout out to her because she's amazing. We have a meeting every month about what are we going to do now, you know, and our minds are like, our brains are a little fried after that, but we have the weirdest ideas sometimes and they work.
I love it. I'll link to we'll make sure to link to your billboards on Instagram into the show notes because they're fun to look at. It's like, you'll do your hashtag, you'll do something for Valentine's Day, you'll just do some random stuff. But like at the end of the day, they're aesthetically pleasing. They catch your attention and I could just see the smile on your face. Like you love doing it. So
yeah,
I hope you keep doing it. It's fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Jeanette, you've been so, so amazing. You've been gracious with your time. You've been a huge inspiration to others and myself. So thank you. What do you want to leave the audience with today?
To always believe in yourself and never give up, no matter what. To keep on keeping on.
I love it. And final question for you. There's no right or wrong answer. You can take this as it is. What's good dough?
Everything.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. My conversation with Jeanette of 550 Pizzeria. Jeanette, thank you for blessing us with your time. Truly. And thank you for just your honesty, your faith, exemplifying your faith and inspiring me to be one who believes even more in myself. You know, after our conversation, I went off to go compete at the expo and I made a public display of prayer right before I went to go cut my pizza. And it's because I thought of our conversation and how I was just so blessed that week with all of my many lucky breaks. And I had to pray. So thank you very much for inspiring me to do that. And thank you for inspiring women and your community with all that you do. To you, the listener, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And thank you for reaching out to Jeanette and letting her know what's good dough. If you haven't already, subscribe to the show, hit follow, and leave a rating. I appreciate you. I love you. Till next time, peace.